waiting for my cue, I feel like Johnny Carson. But I'm going to be somebody different than Johnny Carson this morning, folks. We have come to worship, so welcome. And I want to tell you, if you've never been here before on a Music Appreciation, Music Recognition Sunday, you're in for a treat. And we're going to do something a little different than we congregationalists tend to do. And if I can use the vernacular, I'll just say we're going to let it all hang out today, folks. And if we do that, that means the congregation kind of has to do that along with us. So if you don't know music and you don't really sing, then take the hymnals and sing along, or read along, because there's a lot of good stuff in there, okay? Now, before we play the bells, Barb.
Good morning. Nice to see you all here. I wanted to read for you Psalm 9 because that is the name of the handbell piece that is going to be played, and I thought that perhaps it would give you a sense of why Carl Wiltze wrote the piece the way he did. We lovingly in the bell choir call it the Halloween song, but it is not that. But what it is, Psalm 9 is referred to in the Bible as the thanksgiving for God's justice. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all thy wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. When my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before thee. For thou hast maintained my just cause. Thou hast sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy have vanished in everlasting ruins. Their cities thou hast rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know thy name put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. Behold what I suffer from those who hate me. O thou who liftest me up from the great gates of death, that I may recount all thy praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in thy deliverance. The nations have sunk in the pit which they have made. In the net which they hid has their own food been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall depart to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before thee. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men.
Ooh, made it through the first one. A few announcements, folks. The flowers are given in honor of a birthday we have in the choir. His name is Roger. Most of you know him. And also in honor of all the musicians that work so hard through the school year. Beautiful flowers up there today. Just a couple of quick ones. If you're able-bodied, like to come and help us out a week from Saturday, June 1st, it'll be a work day out in the yard, and that's just a fun day. And sometimes someone brings chocolate milk and donuts. That usually happens. All right, folks, sing out today if you can. Even if you're off tune, I'm not talking to the choir. I'm talking to you. You can sing off tune, and nobody's going to say a thing, except it will still be a beautiful sound to the Lord. Use your hymnals. Pay a little extra attention to John 13, as well as the other readings. Let's continue in worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament.
Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness.
Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp.
Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him.
Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious God and loving Lord, we gather in anticipation once again as we worship the living God. Today, we look forward to hearing our choirs and instruments of music perform on the Sunday in which we celebrate the gifts and blessings of music. So may the gifts of our voices and melodies of our instruments bless us in concert and harmony with your Holy Spirit. In so doing, help us to translate the universal language of music into the language of God, which is love, without which we are only clanging cymbals and noisy gongs. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please be seated.
On page 305 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's first reading, found in 2 Chronicles 5, verses 11 through 13a. Now when the priests came out to the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to their divisions, all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons and kindred, arrayed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. It was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison, in praise and in thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Thank you.
On page 150 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's second reading. It is found in Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to the God, the Father, at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Giving is a part of the praise we offer in worship. Number one, it's the giving of ourselves. We also like to remind anyone who's a visitor here today that this service is a gift to you, and we are not expecting a gift from you to us. May the ushers come forward at this time. It's okay. Well, those songs have a long memory with me. Some of you remember those and the tradition with which you grew up. Thank you, Sue Jen. The doxology is number 563 in your hymnal. Would we stand? Please be seated. A couple of reminders before the pastoral prayer. We do always have needs. Many, perhaps most, of the ones that we're familiar with are listed in your bulletin. So even as we pray or having already done that, or later, or taking it home with you, be aware of the prayer needs of our congregation, and always feel free to let the office know if there's a special prayer request that you'd like us to include. So when we pause, as is our recent tradition here at Mayflower, we'll give you an opportunity to speak the first name. It may be a name that's on the list. It may be a name that you simply have on your heart today. We offer first names. We lift our prayer requests up to the Lord. And then we will close praying together the Lord's Prayer using debts and debtors. Shall we pray? O Lord, our Lord, how great it is to be able to sing praises. And how great it is to know that you will bring justice in your own good time to every land and to every situation. And so as we pray today, Lord, there are times when we don't know God's timing. We pray again and again for some things that never seem to change, and yet in our prayers, we offer our trust and our faith in God, who is our sovereign Lord and who is a good God. So, Lord, help us to sense your goodness as we offer our praises and our prayers for many situations around the world, in our nation, in our state, and in our community, as well as the community of faith here known as Mayflower. We pray for a special need, perhaps the most recent prayer request that's come in, and a missing person in our choir today. Lord, we pray for Mary as she recovers from illness. Be with her especially, and be with all of the others whose names that are mentioned now.
Abby,
Sarah,
Kathy,
yes.
Nancy,
Sheila,
Chris,
Linda,
Lord, hear our prayers. And hear the prayer that we pray as you have taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
sin, because I'm free.
On page 83 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's gospel reading. It is found in John 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where am I going? You cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, bless and be with both of those who will share from this pulpit today, and all those that have come to sing and praise and to worship God, all of us being equal before you. Thank you, God. Amen.
Ooh, it's tall up here. Full disclosure, my talk this morning is mostly about me. They are not surprised. And why, you ask, does that have to be? The answer is that I've been thinking a great deal this past week about how I can inspire you to be inspired by what inspires me. Well, you ask, what took you so long to figure it out? You're the music director. It has to be music. That's an easy answer, isn't it? It is music, but it's more complicated than that. I believe that we all have music in our souls. Some of us, like me, were made acutely aware
of it from a very young age. If you were to come up with a phrase for it, you would say I came from a musical family. We had a piano in our house from the time I could remember, and I pounded on that piano until my parents couldn't stand it anymore and had my grandmother give me piano lessons every Sunday afternoon that we drove to Jackson to visit with my grandparents. I could stand here and regale you with many strong musicians that influenced my musical life and therefore inspired me to make music such an integral part of my existence, but that would take too much time and could be most assuredly interesting to only me. So, in order to spare you the boredom, I thought I would look back only to this past week and share with you several of the musical moments that have touched my soul. I will begin with this past Sunday, when I knew that Pastor Mark and Deanne were gone from the choir because of attending the graduation of Pastor Mark's son, Bryce, in North Carolina. Definitely a legitimate reason to be away from the choir. However, two singers down. Okay. Sue is already at the church preparing for the after-church coffee hour when Jerry and I arrive at 8:45 and is struggling with a newly developed cold. She squeaks out that she will try her best to sing what she can. Good. I need her alto voice, no matter what kind of condition it's in. But then she reports that both Beverly and Mary have left messages on the church answering machine that they're ill and will not be at church. Oh boy, another soprano down as well as an alto. And then Justin shows up but has no Jamie with him. She too is ill. Yikes, I'm missing another alto. Where do I go from here? Deep breath. Dear Lord, where do you always go when you get into a real bind, right? Dear Lord, you know that I have some of the most dedicated musicians in the world right here at Mayflower, don't you? They would all definitely be here today if they were able to be. Please help those of us who are still here to lift our voices in celebration of you, as we do each week, and help us to inspire our congregation to feel closer to you as well. Amen. This choir that we have right here, these musicians just sing because they must. With five people down, they rise up. When everyone is here, they go even higher. I put a piece in front of them like the Gospel according to Judas. They look it over briefly, moan just a little bit, and then attack it with a vengeance. They inspire me. Another example of what these musicians do here is what happened this week when Lorraine discovered that Mary was in the hospital with pneumonia and would more than likely not be able to sing nor ring in the bell choir today. Lorraine's text to Pastor Mark, Sue, and me began like this. Houston, we have a problem. That's true. But wouldn't you know, it ended with the reassurance that she would find someone to ring Mary's bells in spite of the difficulty of the piece that we were playing. By Wednesday, she was saying things like this. Roger will stop at the hospital today to pick up Mary's bell folder that she has with her, which I think is really funny. She's sick and she has her bell folder at the hospital with her, working on it, right? I think Shannon will come to rehearsal on Thursday night to play Mary's bells. But since Shannon is substituting for a ringer on Sunday at Okemos Community Church, Lindsay will play Mary's bells on Sunday if Jerry can watch Lindsay's kids at 9:30 while we rehearse, since Chuck has another commitment and can't. Mind you, I'm kind of abbreviating the conversations, but by Thursday morning, Sherry Dan, a Capital City community ringer, had all but plopped into our laps by volunteering to help us out and truly simplified our lives. Thank you, Sherry. And Jerry didn't have to babysit. Once again, I am inspired.
Here's another example. It happened just this week. Su Jin, who we are so very fortunate to have here at Mayflower, came to me several weeks ago to let me know she would not be able to play the service next Sunday and wondered if I would like her to get a substitute. Mind you, Su Jin is hardly ever unavailable to play, and she most assuredly deserves to have a Sunday off. Having said that, my first thought was to take her up on her offer, but I had no one scheduled for the special music slot because of it being Memorial Day weekend, and a lot of our musicians had plans to be away. Asking a pianist unfamiliar with our worship service to prepare three hymns, a prelude, an offertory, and special music seemed a bit overwhelming. So I reluctantly made up my mind that I would do it, even though I had hopes of taking that day off myself to spend with our children and grandchildren from Virginia who would be here for the holiday weekend. And wouldn't you know that as soon as Pastor Mark got wind of my dilemma, he presented it to Deanne. And on Wednesday, they assured me that Deanne would play the service next Sunday and that I was not to give it a second thought. Again, inspiration at its finest. You can't make these things up. And these are examples I am pulling only from this week. Other weeks, I run to Jamie at the last minute with an idea on how to add drums to a piece. I ask the trumpeters time and again to step into hymns and anthems with us. I say, hey, Marcia, how about singing a duet with me for the Good Friday service? I pull Justin aside and inquire, Justin, you want to be Judas? I suggest to Su Jin she improvise and play a little ditty. Mind you, she's Korean. I'm saying a little ditty to Su Jin at the end of a piece that isn't written there. I have so many more examples, but here's the truth. They never, ever turn me down. I keep doing it. If they turned me down, maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. Being the director of music here at Mayflower is like a dance. Some weeks are akin to a waltz, where every move is restful and smooth. I glide through the week and all goes as planned. No sweat. But then once in a while, I'm thrown into the middle of a jitterbug. And that's where the action comes in. I have to think fast on my feet, and just when I'm beginning to wonder if my legs are getting so tangled up, I'm going to topple to the floor, my musicians magically appear and save me. It all of a sudden becomes everyone's dance. And I am lifted not only to steady ground, but maybe ever so slightly just above the dance floor, where I glide along as if I were performing that waltz. And there I go, being inspired by these wonderful musicians once again. What did I tell you? It's all about me.
Well, I can't top that, but I never even thought I'd try. I'll just add a little to it. Thank you, Barb. Thank you. Without music, life would be a mistake, said Friedrich Nietzsche, a famous German philosopher. A lot of people said a lot of things about music, and they weren't all musicians. Hans Christian Andersen said, where words fail, music speaks. Confucius weighed in. Music produces a kind of pleasure which human nature cannot do without. And here's one for you, Candy. There are two means of refuge from the miseries of life, cats and music. Said Albert Schweitzer, who was an organist as well as a theologian, writer, philosopher, and of course you know what two letters are before his name, doctor. You know who the greatest cellist is considered to be, one of the greatest? Anybody heard of Pablo Casals?
This is what he said. Music is the divine way to tell beautiful, poetic things to the heart. Even the beatnik generation got involved. Who was the original beatnik? He wrote a book. Some of you might have read it years ago in your hippie days. Jack Kerouac. Yeah, really. He said, the only truth is music. Ludwig von Beethoven said this, I would rather write 10,000 notes of music than a single letter of the alphabet. Albert Einstein said, I see my life in terms of music. And here's one from Charles Darwin, a famous scientist. If I would have my life to do over again, I would have made it a rule to read some poetry and listen to some music at least once a week. I thought that was a little sad, like his life was devoid of music and poetry, but it sounds a little like one of my favorite Beach Boys tune, who were not around then, when they wrote a song. It's one of my, again, my favorite Beach Boys tune. Add some music to your day. Does anyone ever know what the first line of that is? The Sunday morning gospel goes good with your soul. How appropriate is that for today? And finally, a modern musician who's now gone, tragically at a younger age. To live is to be musical, starting with the blood dancing in your veins. Every living thing has a rhythm. Do you feel your music? Anybody want to guess as who that was? One of the greatest entertainers of all time? If my son was here, he would know that. That was none other than Michael Jackson. So I hope you feel your music today. Your choirs and instrumentalists felt it today. And whatever your preference is in music, and I understand that not everybody prefers our brand, but I hope Music Appreciation Sunday has been an inspiration to all of us. Many of you know the story that less than 30 years ago, Mayflower Church would have likely closed its doors had it not been for a group of people looking for a church who loved God and best expressed that love through music. And here we are, still singing, still playing, still rehearsing, still performing, and most importantly at all, still worshiping. And I am proud to be a part of the music program of this church. I'm glad they accepted me. The classical style of sacred music and importance of it is part of the reason that Deanna and I came here and offered ourselves to serve as your pastoral couple. As you know, this is our last Sunday of choir and bell performance until September, and I want to tell you, as I communicated to the choir, there's something bittersweet about that, but it is time for a break, and summer in Michigan is a good time for a break, is it not? Okay, get a lot of up and downs, yes. No more Thursday night rehearsals. Whee! No more Saturday suppers. No more thrift sales. Now be careful on these next ones, okay? Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Ash Wednesday, Lent, Holy Week are all behind us. And we celebrate Eastertide for 2 more weeks. Pentecost Sunday is 3 weeks from today, and I will be wearing the red part of the stole on that day to represent and signify the work of the Holy Spirit that came to the church in a very special way and was promised to us to this very day. As far as the lectionary, the traditional church calendar goes, it is simply called from that point on all the way to Advent, ordinary time. But I want to tell you and encourage you that if your schedule allows and you can make it to service, and we want you to, but we understand when you can't, that it will be nothing like just ordinary here. We've got a lot of good music, special music coming this summer. So today we say goodbye, today or in the next week or two, but but I know some today, to those who will be heading north for the summer. And the only way I could solve that problem is to offer to join some people up north for a little bit of time so I can, you know, swim and enjoy. Well, anyway. Next weekend is a holiday weekend, the traditional start to this great summer season in the land of 11,000 lakes. Not 10,000, sorry, Minnesota. By the way, as an incentive to be here next Sunday, I will be performing the first baptism in a while here at Mayflower. And the person who's being baptized is here this morning. And the week following that, on June 2nd, there will be another person with me in this pulpit, probably out here, which will be a dramatic presentation of two people sharing, which will include me. And the other person, many of you know, but he's not here today, so I'm leaving you a little suspense there, folks. And right after the service, we'll go with those folks, our relatives, into Canada, into the largest freshwater island in the world. You know where that is? Manitoulin Island. Look it up. Deanna and I will be in Cleveland for the National Gathering of Congregationalists in late June. In July, I will be attending the Boston Seminar, which all congregational ministers are strongly encouraged to attend at least once. I have a wedding scheduled on July 27th for a couple in our neighborhood, and I hope to have my granddaughter here for a week in early August. And many of you know that Deanna will be joining her two sisters on a trip to Europe in late August, right over her birthday. What am I going to do? Well, trying to figure that out, perhaps a road trip with my wonderful brother-in-law, Paul, who's the other guy that'll be here. I'll lead the, just blow the suspense, but if you know it's him, you might be here. There will be all manner of interesting and beautiful music performed all summer long, beginning next week when Sue Jen is gone, and you get to hear Deanne play the service that day. We will observe communion in a few weeks, and I want to assure you also that I will give it all I've got to continue to diligently prepare sermons, and I'm working on the summer slate right now, bar by promise. And I find summer is a great time to make more visits, as I've planned several for this week. And I plan on doing some more painting around here, including a little freshening up in our lobby. And I will be encouraging our leadership to look at expanded options for this fall for teaching, fellowship, and service. And when I'm away, there will be some of our own in this congregation, at least one of whom is here this morning, standing in this pulpit, and also maybe when I'm here, sharing things you will not want to miss. And don't forget our outing to the Lansing Lugnuts. And in closing, I'm glad to inform you that God will not be taking a break from Mayflower this summer. So briefly, back to the idea of music. Music represents emotion and stirs in us things which mere words cannot. Jesus often sang with his disciples, especially after the ritual of the Passover meal. Jesus and the disciples undoubtedly sang from the Psalter. Many of the disciples perhaps knew all the Psalms. Did you know that in our hymnal, there is a song written for every one of the 150 Psalms? Look it up. Not now. The disciples knew the Psalms and they knew music. It helped establish intimacy in their group as music does for all of us. So it was with Jesus and his disciples. I refer to the gospel reading today. Jesus' ministry was drawing to a close and heading toward climax. And he gave his disciples a commandment which he described as a new commandment to love one another, which was curious because from the opening of his ministry, he taught them and others the new concept of loving enemies, not just one another. That is a difficult and totally radical idea. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, he challenged all of us to consider who our neighbor is and might be when it was not a member of our own faith community which tended the injured and robbed. It was none other than a hated Samaritan. Loving those who we sometimes think are destroying our society is a difficult concept. Right now, there are large swaths, I hate to say this, of the Christian church who are hating instead of loving. So it would seem that loving within and among the members of our own faith community would be the easier thing to do.
But this passage challenges that assumption. And it is noteworthy, this is the only commandment that Jesus gives specifically to and only for the disciples. His group, now 11. The suggestion is that really, there is nothing easy about the commandment to truly love one another. Just previous to this conversation was a betrayal. Jesus dipped the bread and handed it to Judas and said, So do what you have to do. While my idea may be slightly outside of the biblical narrative, I'd like to think that this commandment was given to the remaining 11 to remind them that Judas, the betrayer, might not have received enough love from the other disciples. I don't know. But it is often the most difficult task to love with abandon and love unconditionally those that we live with, those of us who we work with, and sometimes even those we worship with. A love that knows no limits is given away wastefully, and it carries with it a whole new concept of the possibilities of Christian community. This is my idea of community, where people love unconditionally. So, in the context of this day, one of the most important on our calendar here at Mayflower, I leave you with one final quote by Jackson Pollock, the great American expressionist painter. Love is friendship set to music. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
All right, I leave you with a request. And the request goes to you, and it also goes to the choir, but I've clued them in. This is spontaneous for you. So here it is. I know some of you missed the choir mingling informally at the end of the service. For a couple of good reasons, we changed that, but I'm going to ask at the close of my benediction for the choir members, those that can, to come down and mingle with you. And then those that remain in the choir loft, and those of you that can, at least in a relatively short period of time, go up and greet them. And then, of course, we will celebrate back in the social hall, invited everyone to come and share in kind of a church shower that many of you have been involved in for Haley and Logan and their baby, and I see them outside. So that's what we're going to celebrate, and we are going to celebrate the great work that all these musicians have done through this school year, okay? So I leave you with this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing, and I'll add this. Leave today, whenever you do, with singing in your heart. Amen. Remain standing here.
May the
you know what to do. Don't wait.